Shiva. I had to limit myself to a specific shita because there's so much to say about this topic. Just to spend, perhaps this is backwards, but to spend 2 minutes just at the very beginning, sharing with you the kind of scope of how many shitos there are on this particular topic. The question that we're trying to ask is there a chiyuv to wear tzitzis? Is there an obligation to wear tzitzis? Now, in the short 37 years of my career, not all of which I was able to read, I have found and amassed for myself a number of different opinions on the matter. Everything from, let's say, the opinion of Rav Moshe Feinstein and Igros Moshe that not wearing tzitzis, like not putting on a pair of tzitzis in the morning to wear, is a violation of a minhag, because it's the minhag of the Jewish people to wear tzitzis, to the shita of the Or Zarua, that it is a din derabanan, there was a takana derabanan, even though the Torah never mandates that we have to wear tzitzis, only if you are wearing a four-corner garment, you have to put, we'll talk about this, if that's true even, but the Or Zarua who thinks that there's a mitzvah derabanan to wear tzitzis, to a very obscure shita of the sefer called Kemach Soles. That's a achron who claims that like the mitzvah of tzedakah, there is a mitzvah once a year to give a pruta to tzedakah. There is a mitzvah once a year to put on daraisa, a mitzvah once a year daraisa to put on per tzitzis, and to make sure you fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis once during daraisa. To other opinions who believe that there is a mitzvah daraisa to wear tzitzis all the time. Like the opinion of the Rif. And perhaps we'll come back to that opinion of the Rif at the end of Shir. But what we're going to do today, that was exactly 2 minutes. What we're going to do today is focus in on the Shita of the Rambam. Now it happens to be that the Shita of the Rambam is all over the place. And that's what makes it a fun Shir Klali. The question that we're going to try to answer is, what does the Rambam think in terms of our obligation to go out of our way to be wearing a four-cornered garment so that we are chayiv in tzitzis? Now, our conversation begins by looking at two different places in the Torah, one in Parsha Shlach and one in Parsha Kitetze, where the Torah identifies for us the mitzvah of tzitzis. In source number one, in Parsha Shlach, Sefer Bamidbar, this we're all familiar with, from this morning and last night and tonight and every other time we've said Kriyat Shema. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe leimor daber al bnei Yisrael ve'amarta aleihem ve'asu lahem tzitzis al kanfei bigdeihem ve'orsam ve'asnu al tzitzis haknaf p'sil tevas. Hashem says that Moshe Rabbeinu should tell the Jewish people that they should make tzitzis on the corners of their garments l'dorosam, for all generations. And on the corner of the tzitzis, they should place tcheles. They should place a strand, a string of tcheles, which is wool that is dyed with the blue of the tcheles. Now, this is in Parsha Shlach. And maybe that doesn't sound like anything so remarkable, and it's not until you compare it, or contrast it rather, with what's written in Parshas Kitetze. In Sefer Dvarim Perek Chaf Beis, we find the pasuk "Gedilim ta'aselecha al arba kanfos ksuscha asher techasavek." You should place gedilim, which is perhaps another word for tzitzis. The Gemara describes that perhaps the tzitzis, or you know, the psil is the lower part, and the gedil is the braided upper part. But that we're placing, and that's why we have both of those. We have this more braided part is more like a gedil, and we have this which is more like a psil. But more than that, it is remarkable that in Parsha Shlach we find that the mitzvah is specifically Vasulam Tzitzis al Kanfei Gdehem. The focus in that pasuk is that there should be tzitzis on your. On what? On the corners of your begadim, of your clothing. Whereas the focus in Parsha Kitetze, if we want to overanalyze it, which I'm suggesting that we do right now, it's specifically on the ksus asher techasaba. What would be a very simple difference between having tzitzis on your clothing versus tzitzis on the clothing that's covering it? Yeah?
If you're not wearing it.
If you're not wearing it. that a hyper literal read of the pasuk in Parshas Shlach in the first source sounds like you need to have tzitzis on your clothing, irrespective of where they are. Whereas the pasuk in Parshas Ki Tetzeh seems to say, in a very literal read of it, al arba kanfos ksuscha. That's just another word for begadim, okay? Asher techasava, which is redundant and therefore sounds like what? That you are actually covered in right now. In other words, if you're not wearing it, there's no need for the strings to be on the begad. Just because there's a four-cornered garment lying in your drawer somewhere doesn't mean that they need to have tzitzis on them. And so the question is, which one is correct? Or are they both correct? Or how exactly do we navigate this seeming hyper-literal inconsistency in the pasuk? One of them seems to be just on the begad, irrespective of where it is. And the other one seems to be specifically if you are wearing it. So there is a remarkable and fun Gemara, because it is both halachic and agadic at the same time. Halachic because it is right in the center of this discussion, which is a machlokes in the Gemara, whether tzitzis, listen to these two lashonos because we'll have to use them, whether tzitzis, the mitzvah of tzitzis, is a chovas gavra, whether the tzitzis are a chovas gavra, meaning only if I am wearing them, presumably, or we'll have to define exactly what that means, or whether it's chovas talis, which sounds more like what? Like the first pasuk, that it's on the tzitzis, irrespective of where they are. Chovas talis. The talis itself needs tzitzis, irrespective of whether someone's wearing them. So right in the middle of that sugya, we find the following gemara, source number 3. Chasidim harishonim, the early pious ones, kevan sha'arguba shalosh. Once they already, if they were making a beged, once that beged reached 3, which we know from other contexts, that the minimum shear for these chasidim rishonim when they were making their begadim, once they got to 3 etzbaos of material, once they had 3 etzbaos of material, which could constitute a corner, right? That's sufficient for a corner. So, metilin batcheles. These chasidim arishonim, who were so pious and so eager to do the mitzvah, as soon as they had a corner worth of beged, of material, they would put tcheles inside of it. Matilin batcheles. So the Gemara wants to prove from here that what? Were they wearing? Can you wear a 3 etzba length beged? Of course not. And yet, they would put tcheles in it. The implication is that this is some sort of support for the shita that what? That you don't have to wear it. It's chovas talis. Chovas talit. So says the Gemara, nah, that's not a good raya. You can never follow what the chasidim do. You know, the chasidim, they have their own ways. Shani chasidim d'machnira nafshei. The chasidim are called pious ones for a good reason. It's because they're machmir on themselves. Just because they are going to this hyper-literal reading of chovas talis, and they're putting tcheles in the... That doesn't mean that that's the halach. That's not the accepted halach. And then the Gemara says, and it seems also like these chasidim are... Here's where it gets a gadik, ready for this? This is where the Gemara says, and it seems like these chasidim also are pliga d'malacha. They're arguing on a malach. Because there's a story with this malach who probably, it looks like, felt a little bit differently. Says the Gemara, the malcha, there was a malach, ashkechel Rav Katina. There was a malach that came across Rav Katina. Demechasi Sedina. And Rav Katina was wearing, his clothing of choice was Sedina. Sedina is linen. He was wearing a linen garment. Now, I don't want to get distracted with this right now, but suffice it to say that even though linen garments are chay of midaraisa in tzitzis, Chazal came along at a certain point and said, your putter from putting tzitzis on a linen garment, they canceled the mitzvah daraisa to put it on, because they were afraid that since we don't necessarily have the tcheles anymore in the right way, we're afraid people are going to put tcheles strings on their linen garments, and tcheles has to be on what? On wool. If it's the real tcheles, then there's no problem of shatnez. Wool, linen, it's okay. But if it's not the real tcheles, then we're afraid that you're going to put what? You're going to put fake tcheles on a linen garment, which is going to be wool and linen together. You're not doing the mitzvah of tzitzis with tcheles. And so therefore, you're going to end up doing an iser. We're going to cancel the mitzvah of putting tzitzis on linen garments altogether. Chazal have the ability to do that. Chazal are allowed to tell us, b'shev al taseh, not to do them, just like they tell us not to blow shofar on a shana. We're afraid we might come to violate hotzah on Shabbos. So they're also allowed to tell us, no mitzvah tzitzis over there. Because it's mitzvah to put tzitzis on your four corner garments. So, just one second, let me finish the Gemara. So, Rav Katina was wearing one of these rabbinically, you know, you don't put tzitzis on this type of garment. And the Malach comes to Rav Katina and he says to him, Katina, Katina. Amar le Katina, Katina. Sadina v'kaita, v'sarbala v'sitva. You're going to wear sadin. You're going to wear linen garments in the summer. And you're going to wear sarvalta, which is some sort of coat, which is also pater and tzitzis, in the winter when it would be a little colder out. Tzitzis shal tchelis, ma tehele, what's going to be with the mitzvah of tzitzis? You're always putting yourself in a situation where what? You're not chayiv in tzitzis. You're not wearing a four-corner garment that's chayiv in tzitzis. In the summer, you're wearing linen, which the Rabbanan already got rid of the tzitzis on that. And in the winter, you're just wearing like a long coat that doesn't have four corners, so there's no tzitzis on that. What's going to be with you in the mitzvah of tzitzis? What's the implication here? That there's some sort of obligation on who? On the person. Because Rav Katina, if he's just not wearing a four-corner garment that's tied in tzitzis, what's the Malach's problem? If it's really a chovas talis, like the Hasidim works were saying it is, so he doesn't have one of these talis. But if it's a chovas gavra, if it's an obligation on him to make sure he's wearing tzitzis, so you can't say, oh, I'm just not wearing it. The Malach says, I'm upset at you for not wearing tzitzis. So says Rav Katina back to him, listen carefully, we're going to finish the Gemara in 1 second, I don't take any questions. Clarifications, we'll summarize what we said so far also. So Rav Katina says back to him, I don't understand you, Malach. V'chi'atam evakesh alilus. I'm sorry, I skipped. Amarlei, Amarlei, anshisu ha'asei. Are you trying to threaten me that I'm going to get punished for not doing a mitzvah asei? Like, who gets punished for not doing a mitzvah asei? Now, that's like a funny type of lashon. What do you mean you don't get punished for doing it? Like, we have to do mitzvah asei. That's like part of our obligation to do mitzvah asei. Amar lei, bizman, the Malach said back to him, bizman di'ika rischa anshina. In the time when there is divine wrath, if you don't have this extra protection of this mitzvah asei, so then you're going to be out to, you know, it's going to be a danger for you. You need to have this protection of an extra mitzvah asei. So, putting aside the theological part here, that like Hashem's going to punish you if you don't do the mitzvah asei, what exactly does that mean? What we see from here, clearly, is that there is some sort of machlokas between the shitas, whether there is a mitzvah to put tzitzis on a talis, or whether every person has an obligation to put tzitzis on, and to make sure that they have tzitzis. The Gemara comes along and says, ah, let me explain to you. Skipping a little here because I want to be able to get through the Shir Klali. The Gemara says, let me explain to you. Chovas Gavra, when we say that there's an obligation on a person, there's two different types of Chovas Gavra. Like, there's a Chovas Gavra that you have to put on tefillin in the morning. Now, that means you have to put on tefillin in the morning. There's nothing you have to do to put you in a situation where you're putting on tefillin in the morning. All you have to do is be alive and be able to maintain a clean body, which is not move on me'alav. But a person can do that, you have to put on tefillin in the morning. That's an obligation upon the person. It devolves upon the person. I wake up in the morning on Sukkot. There's a chiyuv upon me to shake lulav and esrog. Tzitzis is chovas gavra and also not chovas gavra. It's chovas gavra in the sense that it's an obligation upon the person and not upon the garment. It's not a function of if I have a four-corner garment, then I put tzitzis on it. It's I have to be wearing it. It's a chova that has to be upon me. The thing has to be on me. But there is no obligation to go out of my way to wear tzitzis. That's what the Gemara seems to conclude. And so Rav Katina, when he said, are you going to punish me for not doing an asei? What does he really say? Like, if I don't say kriyat shema, I deserve to get punished. I get that. But if I don't do an asei that I'm not really chayiv in unless I'm wearing the four-cornered garment, like if I don't live in a house and therefore don't put up a mezuzah, like am I punished for that? I'm only chayiv to put up a mezuzah if I live in a house that needs a mezuzah. So I'm not wearing any garment. I'm wearing a linen garment in the summer. I'm wearing a long coat that doesn't have four corners in the winter. I'm not chayv to wear tzitzis, to go out of my way to put on tzitzis. That's what seems to be the conclusion of the Gemara. And that's what the Malach was saying. Yes, you're right, that normally you wouldn't get punished for such a thing, but when you need this extra divine protection, the idna d'rischa, at a time when Hashem, you know, when there's wrath in the world, and Hashem is looking to punish. So you need this extra protection because you'll be one of these people who went out of your way to be machayiv yourself in the mitzvah of tzitzis. So those are the three possibilities. We have one possibility that the mitzvah of tzitzis devolves upon the talis. That seems to be the opinion of the Hasidim. That as soon as there is an existent, an extant, beged, You need to put tzitzit on it. There is another opinion which seems to be the opinion that if I am wearing a four-cornered garment, then I am chayav in tzitzit, but if the garment is in my drawer, I'm not chayav in it. And there seems to be this kind of third opinion lying out there as a havamina in the Gemara, that even if I'm not wearing a four-cornered garment, I better go out of my way and put a four-cornered garment on. I better go out of my way to put this on and make myself chayav. The Gemara here, to summarize in Menachos, seems to say the Hasidim who say you put it on the beged, that's like too far. The idea that you have to go out of your way to put on a beged, that's also doesn't seem to be the conclusion of the Gemara. The conclusion of the Gemara seems to be that if you are wearing a four-cornered garment, you need to wear tzitzis. However, to give yourself a little extra protection, b'shas rischa, in the time of divine wrath, you can go out of, and you should, one should go out of their way, which is why Rav Katina was given this talk by the Malach. That seems to be the Gemara in Menachos. Yeah?
Where does there's one day that maybe you could say that tzitzis, let's say, is like 12 minutes to go out of your way, where is the harmony of the Malach? So if you're going to say it's from the Malach,
yeah, I don't think we see, in what we just read here, I don't think we see it. I don't think we see it here. But we're going to read some other Gemaras in a second. Yeah.
So you see we have now there, like, the thing that you put on in addition to our clothing, like, functions to, like, allow sources.
Oh, very good. Okay, we're going to get that in a second. Tosfos is going to suggest, well, I'll just mention now, maybe we'll read inside in a minute. Tosfos is going to suggest, you know why Rav Katina got this talking to? Because Bizman Chazal, the standard garb was a four-cornered garment. In their time, it was a standard to wear a four-cornered garment. And he was going out of his way to not wear things that are chayav in tzitzis. For us, we actually go out of our way to put on a four-cornered garment, because who wears a, you can walk out into Wall Street, who's wearing a four-cornered garment? Only Jews, because we're going out of our way to put it on. In Rav Katina's time, Jews, non-Jews, everyone's wearing four-cornered garments. And Rav Katina was going out of his way not to to dress, you know, with the whatever the style of the time was, so that he wouldn't be chayav in these tzitzis. Yeah. Okay, so if you look in the, it's very good. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, when the Shulchan Aruch defines what is the definition of a four-cornered garment, so there are a number of different things. Okay, number one, the corners are supposed to be, the Shulchan Aruch writes, are supposed to be two in the front and two in the back. Okay, so for example, these are not considered part of the corners. Two in the front, two in the back, right? Although there is an interesting fellow who wanders the streets of Yerushalayim who had a whole long journey through many different Gilgulim in one lifetime. His name is Gutman Locke. And when he first came to Judaism, he thought, he used to just read the Bible straight and think like, you know, it took him a while. His name is Gutman Locke. Some people call him Guru Gil. And he used to put tzitzis like in lots of different places. Very fascinating guy, not for now. The same thing is true that in order for the four corners to be considered proper corners, the slits need to go high up enough that they're considered full corners. That's not really exactly considered a corner. Okay, there's lots of other different kind of sub details of the halacha that would make something a corner or not a corner. Okay, yeah.
Obviously, I'm not getting sure why the rabbis can, you know, accept the corners.
Why do the rabbis have the ability
to
aggregate?
I want to get that, but I want to get into that sense of like culture of itself. I want to get into what's the sense of puttering, if they have the ability to putter their isa, why, except in Kol Yisrael, why can't, why don't they putter a shatnez instead of puttering?
Shatnez is a los asai. That's exactly the answer. Shatnez is a prohibition. They can't say there's a prohibition to eat milk and meat. We're going to say there's no more prohibition to eat milk and meat. What they can say is there is a mitzvah, there's a cosmic command to actively get up and blow shofar, but we're going to tell you not to do that on Shabbos because we're afraid you're going to violate a los asa. We're protecting the los asa by telling you not to do an asa. And that has Chazal do have permission. That's a good question, and that's part of that whole sugya. Yeah.
You don't get
if we're just looking at the punishments, with the exception of Bris Milah and Karban Pesach, there's no such thing as either divine and certainly not from a Beis Din, a death penalty for not doing an asa. So if we're just looking straight at the punishments, so then it looks like the los asas are treated a lot more severely. Yeah.
But exactly is this time of wrath that we would have?
So yes, yeah, so I said we're not going to get into that right now. I don't know what that means, time of wrath, precisely.
Is that Geula?
Not going to get into it now. You could look at the Gemara of Avodah Zarah that talks about this Shas Rischa of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every day Hashem gives this moment of wrath to the world. The way that that's understood in Sefer Chassidus Al Regal Achas, until I lose my balance, literally, is that, oh, lost that, I can't do it now. No, the way that it's done is, it's to keep balance in the world. Hashem is Kulo Rachmin, but when there's Kulo Rachmin, then we take liberties and we become buddy to buddy buddy with Hashem. And so every single day there's a moment of divine wrath that kind of rebalances everything. We can talk more about it at lunch if you'd like. There's a lot to say about it. Okay, Bilam, Pinchas, there's a lot to say about it. Okay, now, let's look at some other Gemaras very quickly before we run out of time, although we're doing okay. So we can get to the Rambam. There's a Gemara in source number 5. That's the Gemara in Erechin. Hakol chayvin betzitzis. Everyone is obligated in tzitzis. Okay. La tuye mai. What does it mean, everyone's obligated in tzitzis? Of course everyone's obligated in tzitzis. Now, the Gemara in Erechin, for those who've never learned the Gemara in Erechin, goes through a whole list of things. Everybody's chayvin tefillin. Everybody's chayvin tzitzis. Everybody's chayvin lulav. And the Gemara just goes mitzvah per mitzvah and says, like, of course everybody's chayvin these mitzvahs. These are mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, well, you would have thought maybe that Kohanim are not chayv and tefillin because how are they going to put the big day kahuna and the tefillin on at the same time? And you would have thought this and you would have thought that. Every single one has like something you would have thought they're not chayv. So the Gemara says, Hakol chayv and mitzitz latuyeh mai. Who's that coming to include? Latuyeh, it comes to include, when Chazal say everyone's chayv and tzitzis, it comes to include katan hayodeya lisatif. It comes to include a katan, a young child, who is obviously old enough to his lisatev betzitzis, he knows how to put on the tzitzis. The Tanya katan de lisatev chayev betzitzis, because we learn that a katan who knows, who has the fine motor skills to be able to actually put the talis on, the tzitzis on, his father has an obligation, midir rabbanon, to teach him chinuch, to give him tzitzis and bite tzitzis for him to help put on tzitzis. Now this, I told you a moment ago, maybe the Gemara in Menachos doesn't sound like this, but this Gemara in Erechin. I mean, sure, Klali, I'm open to the discussion. Does this sound more like Chovas Gavra in a way that, like, I have to go out of my way and do it? You don't think so? What's the barometer of whether or not you're Chayav? If you know how to do it. Right? So you could say, I'm not saying it's impossible to read the Gemara like this, you could say that if a child knows how to put on tzitzis, then you have to put strings on his four-cornered garment. But if he doesn't know how to put on tzitzis, then you don't have to put strings on it. That's like a little bit of a funny way to read it, no? I don't know, I'm open to it.
I think it all depends on how you define chayav in this case. Are you saying chayav means you're obligated to do it in every time you have the opportunity to do it? Or you're chayav meaning you should do it?
Right, so chayav sounds like there's an obligation. The only way to read chayav is the way that I just said it. There's a chiyuv that if your child is old enough to know how to put on a four-cornered garment, then you have to put four-cornered strings on the four corners of his garment. Which sounds like kind of funny. Yeah.
I think I actually agree with you that it's a distinction between what the chayav exactly means, but is it chayav in terms of your chayav to do it yourself, or is someone else chayav to do it? I guess it's the same distinction. It could be the distinction between what Yodan means, but I guess it could also theoretically be distinction between what chayav means. If we say chayav means intentional, or chayav means like can I put it on someone else and then they fulfill that obligation, even if they don't have the intention because they don't.
Katan ayodelis atef, a katan who knows how to put on a four-cornered garment, this talis chayav betzitzis. You have to put strings on this four-cornered garment. If he doesn't know how to put on a four-cornered garment, what's the havamina that I should put strings on it? Yeah.
I mean, well, one, you could say that it's a mitzvah on the chavs up. And
you want to say that maybe? Well, that's even more bizarre.
Well, no, I'm saying that.
I'm only chayv to put the strings on the garment if the kid knows how to put it on.
So I'm saying the havamina could have been that because it's on the chavs up, I would have had to put them on anyway, and then the latuye mai is. In which case, the maskara being that there's a mitzvah on the gavra.
On the gavra, let's make a terminology here so that we can use it. Okay, there's a mitzvah on the gavra, a chiyuv on the gavra, and there's a mitzvah on the gavra that only when he is wearing it, there have to be strings as opposed to when it's in the drawer. Right, so let's call chiyuv on the gavra, and what should we call the other one? And what's that?
Mitzakiyum is on the
gavra. There you go. Okay, there's a chiyum on the gavra, and there's a kiyum when it's on the gavra. Okay, so which one are you saying?
This seems to be saying mitzvah on the gavra.
Yeah, I think so too. I think there's a mitzvah on the gavra. There's a chiyum on the gavra. Kol chayav. Okay, let's look at one more gemara. And then I'll take questions on this gemara.
Yeah,
go for it.
There's two things. Number one, you assume that the mitzvah is to put the sitzit on the bag, not to wear it. to what exactly this mitzvah. And then you said, if the son is old enough to know how to do it, then you put it on his. Presuming that it's his possession. But if it's such a small child, is it really his possession, not the father's?
I don't think there's any way, I'm happy to argue this more, but I don't think there's any way to read this Gemara as saying that there's a mitzvah to put tzitzis on the beged. No, I said that's a shita in the Gemara in Menachos. I don't think you could read this Gemara like that. Hakol chayiv in betzitzis, only if the kid knows how to put it on, then you would be chayiv to put it on the beged, even if it's in his drawer. I don't think there's a way to read that.
But there's also the question is, okay, so you said it's his, but that implies possession, but if you, with such a...
Hakol chayiv in betzitzis latuye mai, comes to include latuye katon hayodeya lisatev. It comes to include the child, who is the person, who knows how to put tzitzis on him. And then the Gemara says, "Detanya katan yodei lisatev chayev betzitzis." A katan who knows how to put on a talis is chayev betzitzis. Sounds like chiva the mitzvah. Not he's capable of being mekayim the mitzvah. That doesn't even make any sense. Why would you use the word of chayev? Okay, let's look at one more Gemara. Source number 7 is Gemara Pesachim and Kuf Yud Gimel. Shiva menudim l'shamayim. There are 7 people who are excommunicated by heaven. Heavy hitter Gemara's here, friends. Yehudi she'en lo isha v'shiyesh lo isha ve'en lo banim. A man who doesn't have a wife, a man who doesn't have children, mi she'esh lo banim ve'ein megadlan talmud Torah, mi she'ein lo tefillin berosha, betefillin bezrael, someone who doesn't wear tefillin, betzitzis v'vigdal, someone who doesn't put tzitzis on his garment, mezuzah v'pischo, who doesn't put mezuzah on the door of his house, v'chu, 7 things. Comes along Tosfos and says, if I don't have children, it's not bad enough that Hashem isn't giving me children, I'm also menudah l'shamayim. Look at Tosfos, verse number 8. Ve'ein lo banim, nira dafka al yedei pshiyasa. Says Tosfos, you know who's menudah l'shamayim? The guy who doesn't have children because he's going out of his way not to have children. Not the guy who's trying and he's going to fertility specialists and he's doing everything he can to have children, and but he's not zochet to children. So says Tosfos, nira dafka al yedei pshiyasa she'inu misasek b'pri revia doma da'achrini. Just like similar things. Mi she'in lo tefillin b'rosho v'zra'o v'tzitzis v'vigdo. What about this guy who's not wearing tzitzis? Says Tosfos, ma'iri b'shiyesh lo. We're talking about a person who has tzitzis, he's got a beged, ve'eino manichon, and he just refuses from putting them on. That guy is menudah l'shamayim, says Tosfos. Someone who has tzitzis, and he just completely rebuffs the obligation and says, forget about it, I'm not putting them on, is menudah l'shamayim. Now, if you tell me that there's only a mitzvah kiyumis, so then, what's this Gemara talking about? What am I doing wrong? Menudah l'shamayim sounds a little bit more harsh than B'idon d'rischa, like this like very extreme case that I need to have this extra merit. So we have a few different Gemaras here that seem to indicate one way or another how strong is the obligation for me to wear tzitzis. We have the Gemara Menachos that seems to leave it open that the only thing that Rav Katina was doing wrong is that he was circumventing the mitzvah, and even though that wouldn't be so bad, it is bad, b'shas rischa. We have a Gemara in Chagiga that seems to say chayav b'tzitzis, which sounds like strong chiyuv, not just when I am wearing a four-quarter garment, I must also put tzitzis on it. And we have a Gemara that seems to say that one who does not fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis, as is obligated upon him, somehow is menuda l'shamayim. He's in nidui from shamayim. Yeah.
The case of Ritcha reminds me, or the case of Medunin, phrase of the Gemara here, reminds me of the phrase of the Mavi of Ritcha. It's not like something that's necessarily but it's like, it looks as bad in Hashem's eyes as Hashem's angry, Hashem is, but it's not like, it's like very odd language. It's in both cases.
Yeah, menud l'shamayim is not like a classic halachic formulation.
It's a good
right? Yeah.
You said that it's like he owns a beged, but he doesn't put it on.
Sure.
Could yeshlo be he's wearing the beged, but he doesn't put it on?
Yeshlo, say it again.
Could it be that Yeshlo is not that he owns it and doesn't put it on, but he's wearing it and doesn't put it on. He's
wearing what?
He's wearing.
How is he wearing it but not putting it on?
Cornered garment.
But not putting tzitzis on it.
Yeah.
No. It says explicitly. Right? It says, "V'tzitzis bebigdo mayer b'sheyeshlo ve'eino manichin." He has this four-cornered garment. Oh, eino manichin tzitzis. You're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, you could read it like that. Interestingly also, just one other thing, and then I want to jump to the Rambam's Shitas for a second, to kind of, because I don't know how to read these Gemaras. How do we read these Gemaras? They're not mukhrach in one way or the other. Right? A lot of them are like, is there an actual chiyuv to wear it? Is this something which we're supposed to do? But as we just pointed out, like be'idun d'rischa, that sounds like not super halachic as like a chiyuv. The only gemara that seems to be like black on white, there's a chiyuv, is about a katan. So that's also funny, right? So like, where is the chiyuv to where it says this? Yeah.
On this list in the gemara and stuff, it seems to be a combination of things that are like definitely chiyuv, also a bunch of things that aren't necessarily chiyuv, like getting married or a machloket, but mezuzah, and the amonim and that line your glove, like there's.
Which further obscures the Gemara?
Exactly.
What does it mean?
Which makes
with you.
The tzitzit isn't necessarily a mitzvah. Like, I don't think
with you. Further obscures the meaning of this Gemara. For sure. I'm just showing you the Gemaras that exist. Okay? To the best of my knowledge, we have now seen all of the Gemaras that exist about whether or not you must go out of your way to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis. Okay? Worthwhile in and of itself. We could end Shir Klali here. Now, we go to Rambam, and the Rambam throws us in a little bit more shade. Okay? Ready for this? This is going to blow our minds. The Rambam in Hilchos Tzitzis seems pretty clear. Listen carefully. Tell me what you think the Rambam's sheet is. Source number 9. Hayech chayev mitzvah tzitzis. What is the chiyuv of mitzvah tzitzis? Kol adam shechayev lasos mitzvah, zu. Every person is chayev to do this mitzvah. Im yiskase b'ksus haroy l'tzitzis. Every person is obligated to do this mitzvah if he covers himself in a ksus that's ra'u l'tzitzis, meaning a four-cornered garment that's made out of wool or cotton or something like that, but not linen, because that's, like we said before, neither of one will do it anymore. Yitol l'tzitzis, if he covers himself in one of those things, he must place strings inside of that four-cornered garment, v'achar kach yiskaseh bo, and then he can cover himself. Jump down to Halacha Yud Aleph. Afal pi she'ein adam mechuyav liknos lo talis. Okay, this is doubling down on what he just said in Halacha Aleph. Even though a person is not chayav to purchase a talis for himself, ulis atefla, and to cover himself in it, kidei she'yaseh bat tzitzis, so that he'll then be chayav to place the strings inside of the garment, ein roi lo adam chasid she'yifter atzvo mitzvazu. It's proper, there's the chasidim again, it's proper for a pious person to put himself in a situation where he owns such a beged, and then he's going to cover himself in it and fulfill this mitzvah. A person should try, again, not a very strong halachic word, a person should try to be mechayev himself in the mitzvah of tzitzis by owning this garment and being kona this thing for himself. Okay? Ein roi l'adam chasid sheyifter atzmo mitzvah zu. Finally, in Halacha Yud Beis, the Rambam says, "La'olam ye'adam zahir b'mitzvah tzitzis." Person should always be careful with the mitzvah of tzitzis. Sherei hakasav shakla v'talaba kol mitzvahs kulim, because it sounds like it's connected all the mitzvahs. Right? Everyone knows the drashas tzitzis plus the 8 strings, the 5 knots, it's taryag. It's like all the mitzvahs put together. It's a very chashuv mitzvah. You should try to be careful with this. La'olam ye zahir. No, what's the sheet of the Rambam here? What does he say? What do you think? You read it with your own eyes. I tried to read it with my mouth.
The way we understand the Gemara is that if you are wearing the baget, you're chayav.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
im yiskase b'ksus haroy l'tzitzis, then you put tzitzis on. And afal pi she'ein adam mechayav liknos, the person doesn't have to buy, but if he has, then if he's a chassid, he should be careful to do this mitzvah, and everyone should try to be careful with this mitzvah because it's a really chashuv mitzvah. Right, doesn't sound like the strong chiyuv that I must have tzitzis. Yeah.
How did the rabbis in Masechet Pesachim just get to decide what our punishment in heaven is for not wearing tzitzis if we have them or not having children?
So that's a good question. Are they deciding or are they transmitting? Meaning, are they saying we put in Tenidui, we put in Techerim, or are they saying Menudin Min Hashamayim?
God's rule, and that it's
right.
It's not something on this earth, it's something outside of this earth.
For sure. Yeah, no, they so Menudim in Hashemayim is a separate cat. They're not putting him in Chayim. They're saying he's in Chayim in Hashemayim.
How do they get to decide that?
I don't know if they're deciding it or they're just pointing it out.
Where do they get that?
That's a better question. That I don't know. Okay, so that seems to be the Ram's opinion. Let's flip the page and get confused. Says the Rambam, source number 11 in Hilchos Shavuos. Says the Rambam in Hilchos Shavuos. Nishba levatel es ha-mitzvah. If a person takes an oath to not do a mitzvah. Ketzad, what is an example of someone taking an oath not to do a mitzvah? Which effectively is not a binding oath. A person takes an oath not to do a mitzvah, he can't take such a shvua. It's considered kind of like an empty shvua, right? Because he can't really make such a shvua. Ketzad kigun shenishba shelo yisatef petzitzis. Like, for example, a person who says, I'm not going to wear tzitzis. I will not cover myself in tzitzis. Or a person says, shelo yilvash tefillin. I'm not going to put on tefillin. And he takes an oath to such an effect. V'lo yeshev besukkah, v'chag asukos. V'lo yachol matzah b'leilei ha-pesach. O shi yis'ana b'shabbos. So he says, I swear I'm going to fast on Shabbos, of Yom Tovim. V'chol hiyotze v'zeh. One of these things is not like the other. If I take an oath not to wear tefillin, I have a chiyuv to wear tefillin. If I say I'm not going to eat matzah on Pesach, I have a chiyuv to eat matzah. If I say I'm going to fast on Shabbos, or I'm going to fast on Yom Tov, I have a chiyuv not to do those things. If I say I'm not going to wear tzitzis, according to the Rambam, let me read for you the Rambam's own words. Af al pi she'ein adam mechuyuv liknos lo talis, roi lo adam chasid, shelo yifter atzmo mitzvah zu. So how is that a shvua to be mevatalis a mitzvah?
Doesn't use the language of Kiev, but you could argue, even though you don't necessarily have to put yourself in a situation where you can fulfill the mitzvah, it's problematic to put yourself into a situation where you are entirely prevented from fulfilling the mitzvah.
Oh, very nice. I like that. In other words, by taking an oath to that effect, you're even like removing yourself from the possibility of doing this mitzvah. That's like you've gone too far. You've gone too far. I like it, but we need a raya that's the sheet of the Rama. Yeah.
Could you ask the same question why he says Yechol Matzah b'Leilei Pesach?
Yeah, I like that Leilei Pesach. Why does he say that? Everybody knows the discussion about whether there's a mitzvah kiyumis to eat matzah the other days of Pesach or just the first night. Like if I just want to eat fish and vegetables and things like that, I can get away with that. And only on the first night is there a mitzvah to eat a kazayas of matzah. After that, there's an isser of eating chametz. Is there really a mitzvah to eat matzah the other nights? Certainly there's no chiyuv. The question is, do I even get any credit for doing that the other days? Or am I just getting credit for not doing it? So yeah, I like that. We're going to talk about that maybe.
Is lele plural?
Lele is plural, yeah. Is it not? Or what? Is lele plural? Lele is plural. So I like that. I like that. Okay, yeah. Yes, we would have liked the Rambam to very good. You hear the objection, Aaron.
Yeah.
The objection is the Rambam seems to say this all in one breath. Like tzitzis seems to be the odd man out here. Maybe we could make a deal with this lele matzah business, but tefillin. I mean, come on, yeah.
To unify them into the same category, all of these are mitzvot aseh shezman drama. So maybe you could say the Rambam used tzitzis also as a sort of mitzvot aseh, not shezman drama, but like shelilbosh beged drama. You know, it's like only if you're doing certain things, only if you're certain, when you're wearing a beged, then you're fine. Just like
why would introducing mitzvot aseh shezman drama help us here?
Because you could say that Rambam is viewing tzitzis in a similar category where it doesn't always apply.
Yeah, but I never have to wear tzitzis according to the Rambam.
You never have to, but unless you're wearing a bega. Unless you're wearing a fourth corner bega. Just like you never have to.
Yeah, here.
I want to talk about both race and
analytics.
Talk about race, then you would say that for the same way that when you make a shvua or pesach or sukkos, it's only relevant when it is Pesach or Sukkos, because if it says this, that shvua is only relevant if you're wearing four-corner garments. So the Rambam is saying, you can't make that. The shvua would be, I'm going to wear a four-corner garment and not put on tzitzis.
So I'm going to help both of you on sharpen it up a tiny bit, and it's not me, it's the Radvaz. Look at this next source. The Radvaz now, if you're a purist, you're not going to like this. The Radvaz wants to claim that when the Rambam says, shenishba shelo yis'atef b'tzitzis, Ketzad, look at source number 12. Ketzad, kigon shenishma shalisad b'tzitzis. She is atif betalis ha-mechuyavis b'tzitzis v'lo yatil b'tzitzis. What was the oath that you took? I'm going to wear a four-cornered garment, and I'm not going to put tzitzis on it. In other words, he reads in that what was the shvuah to mevatel the mitzvah is that I'm going to be in a situation where I'm chayav for that, just like I'm not chayav to sit in the sukkah right now, but there are times when I am. I'm going to put myself in a situation where I am chayav to wear tzitzis, but I'm not going to do it. That is really taking a shvuah to violate or to not do a mitzvah. That's what he wants to say. Now, I guess you could read it as shenishba shelo yis'atef b'tzitzis. It's a funny way. I mean, a lot of people are not happy about it. But that's the way the Rabbis wants to try to fix it out. Can I just show you that that's not right? Because we're going to run out of time. Can I show you that that's not the right way to read it? Okay? Look at the Rambam in source number 14. Okay? Here is why I almost missed my train stop this morning. Because I was reading this again and I just couldn't believe it. Okay? I was like about to get off the train. Actually, Yehuda Averick saved me. He like tapped me on the shoulder. He's like, we're about to stop. We should probably get off here. So I was just, I almost missed the stop because of this. The Rambam and Hilchos in the Sefer HaMitzvos. So in the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam, where he's at the end of the mitzvos, and he's categorizing all the types of mitzvos that exist. Ready for this, Rambam? K'shistakl kol eilu ha-mitzvos, shekobim zechro. After, before I'm about to list all the mitzvos, the end of the Hakdama. If you look at all these mitzvos, hinei timtzen ha mitzvos shehim chov ala tzibor. You'll find some mitzvos in the Sefer HaMitzvos that are chayav on the tzibor. For example, building the Beis HaMikdash, or making a king. That's not chayav on any individual, that's on the whole tzibor. And then there are certain mitzvahs which are chayav on a person in the event that he puts himself in a certain situation. He does a certain action that causes him to be chayav. Like, for example, if he does an aveira, then he's chayav a carbon shkaga. He's chayav a carbon chatas. If he never does an aveira, and he never puts himself in that situation, he won't be chayav a carbon chatas. Umehen, gam ken mitzvahs lo yischayavu, el l'mish yesh lo nachlos. There are some mitzvahs which are only chayav if you own land. Like Peah, and like Bikurin. And these things you need to own land. If you never own land, could be you'll go your whole life without ever doing those mitzvahs. U'mehem mitzvahs mischayvos, l'kol ish, v'hechrech, v'chol zman, v'chol makom. And then there are those mitzvahs that every person must absolutely do at all times and in every place. U'boi ze inyan, shiya kegon tzitzis v'tfilin, shmir shabbos. What? V'nikra ha-mitzvah shehem yizeh ha-min ha-mitzvahs ha-achrechios. Huh? So what's that? I mean, we should just end here, no? Like, what? Shver. What are we going to do? Anybody? Does anyone have anything to say?
Can you repeat the last line?
Sure. The Rambam puts, he makes all these categories. There's mitzvahs that are incumbent upon the tzibor. There's mitzvahs that are incumbent upon a person if he's in a particular situation. Like, for example, if he owns land, then maybe he would be chayav to pay up or in bikurim. And then there are mitzvos that are like absolutely chayav on everybody at all times, and they're called the mitzvos muchrachios, and tzitzis is on that list. I mean, that's, I don't have to answer the question, just that is great enough. That is wonderful, yeah.
I mean, he wrote Sefer HaMitzvot first, right?
Yeah. Yes, he did. And therefore what? You're saying this is the Iker Shita of the Rambam or what? You're saying,
no,
oh, he changed his mind.
He
changed his mind. Okay, so let me show you two things, because we only have time for two things. Let me show you two things, and we'll save the kashas for lunch. Okay, I will come to lunch today. I don't always come to lunch. I'll come to lunch. You can attack. We could do more. Okay, let me show you two wonderful things. Okay, we don't have time for everything. I am from the Hasidim Harishonim, so I don't know how to manage time properly. So I put too many things on the source sheet. But let me just show you two things, and then I'll summarize what we said and what we didn't answer, because why do we need to answer things? Just the questions themselves are amazing, you know? I think it's very important. So there is a sefer called Shas and Tshuvos Oneg Yom Tov. It was written by someone by the name of Rav Yom Tov Lipman Halperin. He was a Rav in Bialystok in the 1800s. He spent some time in jail. Actually, because he was trying to make sure that poor children were not conscripted to the army more often than rich children in the Jewish community. He felt that there was there were conscriptions to the army, and all the rich people were basically just buying out their children, and all the people who were poor were getting shipped off to the army. Ayin Sham B'Tanach, that's a big no-no. We don't like that. So he was like messing in those internal affairs and trying to pull strings, and the government and people, said, you know, look, this rabbi is trying to get people not to go to the army, which is not what he was trying to do. He was just trying to make it fair between the rich and the poor. And he spent about 6 months in jail to defend the poor. So for all of the people who love defending the poor, you might love the Oneg Yom Tov. Okay, so the Oneg Yom Tov wants to suggest a way out of the Rambam's Shvuos sugya. Remember the Rambam back in Hilchos Shvuos? He said that if a person takes a Shvuah not to put on tzitzis, that is taking a Shvuah to mevatel es mitzvah. And we were kind of bothered by that, but not as much as we were bothered by the last source in the Rambam. So the Oneg Yom Tov quotes, he brings in a Yerushalmi. Take a look at the second, in 13, yeah? Source 13, there's like kind of two paragraphs, see how it breaks off in the middle of it, Lania Saiti. See that? Do I get confirmation for yes? Yes, okay, good. Lania Saiti. Nira Raya Ledivre Haramba. Mehadam Rinu Yerushalmi. There is a Gemara in Yerushalmi that says the following. Perek Shvuah Shai. Dhanishba Shalo Lecho Matzah Stam. Listen carefully. If a person takes an oath, I will not eat matzah. By power of an oath, the person takes an oath that he's not going to eat matzah. Have kolel. The oath actually works. Because when a person says, I'm not going to eat matzah, guess what? My wife and I have matzah pizza for Malav Malka every Motzei Shabbos, whether it's Pesach or not Pesach. People eat matzah not around Pesach time. Happens to be a lovely snack. Okay? So when someone says, I'm not going to eat matzah, that's called a shmuah kolelis. And therefore, the person is bound not to eat matzah, both the regular kind during the year, and also on Pesach. He has to be matir his nether in order to eat chametz on, to eat matzah on Pesach, excuse me. Okay? However, says the Gemara, aval hanishba shelo yeshev basukkah, but if a person takes an oath not to sit in a sukkah, nobody calls a regular canopy just stam a sukkah. When you say, I'm not going to sit in a sukkah, you mean sukkah's mitzvah. Lo have kola, velo chayil mishum the stam sukkah b'loshim b'nei adam, lo have el sukkah's mitzvah. When a person says, I'm not going to sit in a sukkah, and he says it by power of an oath, the oath is completely not binding. Why? Because you don't get this extra kind of like grab from when it's not a mitzvah. When you say, I'm not going to eat matzah, the reason why the oath is binding is because there are times when you're referring to matzah that's not matzah's mitzvah, and that, a shvuah ken bichal, just like saying, takes an oath and he's not going to eat cheesecake, it'll default onto that. So the same thing is true when a person says, I'm not going to eat matzah. By dint of the fact that there's matzah she'eno mitzvah, the shvuah bichal on that, and then it'll go onto the matzah's mitzvah as well. For sukkah though, since nobody refers to sukkah as anything other than sukkah's mitzvah, when you say, I'm not going to sit in a sukkah, the shvuah isn't chal at all. Good? Comes on the Oneg Yom Tov Thursday Gemara and says, but we all know that the first night of Sukkot versus the other nights of Sukkot are totally different. On the first night of Sukkot, I have to sit inside of the Sukkot. But the rest of the nights is very similar to what you were saying, Josh, right? The same way that on the first night of Sukkot, I have to sit in the Sukkot. But all the other six nights of Sukkot, I don't have to eat in a sukkah. I could eat fruit and fish and other things and exempt myself from the mitzvah of sukkah. And yet the Gemara says that the shvuah that I took is not going to be chal because it's a shvuah to be mevatel's mitzvah. This is also very similar to what you were saying. Why is that? Because apparently, and this is what the shita of the Yerushalmi is apparently, that if I take a shvuah not to do a mitzvah kiyumis, that's called taking a shvuah to be mevatel a mitzvah. If I take a shvuah not to do a mitzvah that is somewhat within my jurisdiction, whether or not I want to do it, like, for example, eating matzah the other 6 days of Pesach, eating in a sukkah the other 6 days of Pesach, putting on tzitzis when they are not on top of my body, even though they have four corners, by saying I'm going to completely remove myself from the realm of possibility of doing that, that is called shvuah levatlas mitzvah. Because everyone would agree, says the Oneg Yom Tov, everyone would agree that the other 6 days of Sukkot, we would still call that structure a sukkah. That structure that I said, I'm not going to sit in a sukkah, we said during the rest of the year when I sit in a canopy, that's not called a sukkah. But the other 6 days of the year when I have no chiyuv to sit in the sukkah, that building is still called a sukkah. And from the fact that the shvuah doesn't latch onto that part of the mitzvah, obviously, making a shvua that I'm not going to do a mitzvah kiyumis also is not binding, and therefore the Rambam is justified in saying the Rambam holds like this Yerushalmi, and so therefore tzitzis, which I'm not obligated to put on, but by taking an oath that I won't put on tzitzis, I am taking an oath to be mevatel a mitzvah that is within my power to obligate myself in by putting him on. And the same thing for matzah, and the same thing for sukkis, all of those things would fall under this Yerushalmi, and so that's what the Rambam means. Now, it doesn't work. I agree, I already told you that it doesn't work with the Rambam's Lashon in Sefer HaMitzvos, but it does work here. Yeah.
Is it possible, this is a little bit of a stretch, but is it possible that when the Rambam says that you can mevatel your mitzvah of tzitzis, that it's only referring to situations when like he will still say tachiyah, but it's only situations where you're not chayav, but you're chayav. When are you not chayav? At night. And he's saying that if you want to say that I'm not, because there are, it is common that people wear tzitzis at night also.
Mm-hmm.
But he's saying that that if you wanted to make a neder and say, I will never wear tzitzis at night, that is binding, even though you might think that like.
No, but his example is nishba levatla sa mitzvah. If a person swears not to put on tzitzis, that's an example of taking an oath not to do a mitzvah. You're trying to create more space for where there is no mitzvah of tzitzis.
Exactly. So it might seem like he's mevatling his mitzvah of tzitzis, but he's only mevatling the aspect of it that when.
No, but the Rambam says the shvuah is not chal at all. Right, according to what you're saying, it should be chal based on the tzitzis at night.
No, but tzitzis is not.
Not what? Nishba levatas a mitzvah, like for example, he takes the oath not to wear tzitzis, it doesn't work because he's trying to swear to be levat lemitzvah, so he can't do that. Yeah.
For the sefer mitzvahs, can't you read in the same condition? In the same way, it cannot mean the whole zman, the whole makom, literally.
Of course it can't mean, so that's a good point.
Right,
yeah.
Like tefillin and Shabbos,
sure.
Also the same way.
Sure.
When we say tefillin, we mean when you're the thief of tefillin in the place where the thief.
Yeah, but mechrachios.
Everyone is
five. I hear you, right, but mechrachios.
What's the problem?
Right, so b'chol zman b'chol makom can't be literally. When he says b'chol zman b'chol makom, what does he mean? He means whether there's a bais hamikdash, whether there's not a bais hamikdash, whether you own land, whether you don't own land. But mechrachios, you know. Right. But that chiyuv and tefillin devolves upon you without your choice, which is why he uses the word mechrachios. The tzitzis is only if I put on the four-cornered garment. So that doesn't fit. It's not in the category.
No, but when you have it, you have no choice but to put on.
When I own it.
No, when it's on you.
When I put it on, then I have no choice? When I put on the beged, then I have no choice but to put the tzitzis
on
me.
Yeah, which is how you would read it if you were to say
Let me. I want to read the lashon again, but I hear what you're saying. I want to read the exact words of the Rambam.
I think the problem with that answer is what you're describing would fall into one of the other categories you described.
Right, the pu'ula. Im asa pu'ula plonis.
Yeah. If you do
I think so.
Brings you into the situation.
I think so. Im asa pu'ula plonis. If I... Yeah. And the Lashon of Mukhrach is... So we only have one more minute. I just want to go with... Because it was said here before. And I think this is such an important point. Chevra, this is a very important point. Okay, two important points. Number one, it's okay to ask a really good question and not answer it. Okay, that's a really important point. Point number two, okay, and this is maybe also not going to make me popular with some groups. Although, right, I think I'm in safe, I'm in good company. There is a tshuva from the Sridei Eish. The Sridei Eish, not a relative of mine, although a Weinberg. Unless, and my grandfather's name was Yaakov Weinberg, funny enough. The Sridei Eish has a tshuva where he writes that Rav Chaim Brisker, who wrote the Chidushim on the Rambam that he wrote, are so brilliant that Rav Chaim Brisker could be coined a second Rambam. That's what he says. He could have written the Mishnah Torah himself, he was such a genius. However, there are a lot of places where what he's saying is not the pshat. And the pshat is, this is the Sridei Eish saying this, the pshat is that the Rambam made a mistake. That's what he says. That the Rambam made a mistake. Not only that, I'll show you inside if you want to see it. One second.
Which one was the mistake?
Oh, no, he doesn't say about this. He doesn't say about this. He just says it's in general. He says there's a general klal. I'll show you the tshuva. There is also a redacted comment of the Netziv that it's written in the Sefer Makor Baruch from his nephew, Rav Baruch Levi Epstein, where the Netziv said that because the Rambam was in Egypt by himself and wasn't surrounded by Talmidim, because if you read historically, the Rambam didn't have like Talmidim around. It wasn't like the same thing with the Ramban and the Rashba, and they had Chevra, and you know, that the Rambam, because he was by himself in Egypt, he didn't have people to bounce his ideas off of, and so there's more room for creativity in the Rambam than there is in other Rishonim. That's what the Netziv said. Now that was redacted because that's, wow. And there is a line of thinking here, and I can show this to you inside as well. Rav Kapach suggests what you said. He says, the Sefer HaMitzvos, when he was younger, not that he made a mistake, chas v'shalom, I'm not going to say like that. The Nesiv could say that, and you know, and others say that. So I told you before that there is this opinion that when we say Chol Gavro, it means there's a chiyuv to put it on yourself, mamash. Are there any other Rishonim that say that? So the answer is yes, there are other Rishonim that say that. The Rif says explicitly, I told you before that there are some who say it's just a minog, if do it once a year, there's all these different opinions. The Rif says there is a chiyuv on a Gavra towards tzitzis, midaraisa, that's how we paskin. You have to wear tzitzis. You must put on tzitzis when, within reason. It's not given to Malachi Asharis, but everyone has to wear tzitzis every single day. That's the Rif's. Now, when the Rambam was younger, says Rav Kapach, he paskin like the Rif. And in the Sefer Mitzvot, we've done in 1 second, in the Sefer Mitzvot, he paskin like the Rif. It's a mitzvah, muchrachios. You must buy a pair of tzitzis and you must wear it. Not only that, but when the Rambam was writing, this is Rav Kapach writes, not only that, when the Rambam was writing Mishneh Torah, he also held this opinion to be true. However, says Rav Kapach, and he brings Raya's, and I'll show you the Rav Kapach if you want to see it inside, he says, at the last minute, the Rambam changed his mind, and the Rambam went on to the opinion that it's a Chovas Gavra, but not the strong Chovas Gavra, but rather that if you are wearing a four-cornered garment, you must put tzitzis on it. And then the Rambam, this is Rav Kapach writes, and then the Rambam went back to Hilchos Tzitzis, changed his opinion there, did not change his opinion. This is Rav Kapach writes. Did not, the briskers would go out of their minds with this. When did not go back to Hilchos Shavuos, because that's not where the main sugi of Tzitzis was. He didn't even, like, it wasn't Sam Leiv to what he wrote there in Hilchos Shavuos. And he didn't change it over there, which is more in accordance with what he writes in the Sefer HaMitzvos, and that's the, how he resolved to steer on the Rambam. The Rambam's real sheet of Basof is that you only have a chiyuv for tzitzis if you're wearing a four-cornered garment, midaraisa, and that his earlier opinion, which was like the Rif, he redacted, and that's no longer correct. That's what Rav Kapach says. Okay, so whether that makes me popular or not, I'm not interested. That's what Rav Kapach writes. Whether that's true or not, I can't say. What we can say is that we learned two important things today. Sometimes it's important to ask a question that can't be fully resolved, because how exactly do we resolve this Rambam? I don't know. Even Rav Moshe Soloveitchik would sometimes not come to the conclusion how to resolve Rambam, like the Rav writes. And number two, we find that it's good to learn the Chavrusa, because when you learn the Chavrusa, you make less mistakes, and there's someone there to catch you, and to make sure that everything is there. And so that is my Shir Kali for today.
Thank you. Thank you.